dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to show 259 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox, one of your three hosts for this show. This is our sixth show of season nine, if you are counting, and it, like all other episodes, brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Look them up on the web, triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. Give them a call, 740-773-7529. They are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Triple Crown Family Fun Center, all kinds of fun under one roof, and we really appreciate their sponsorship. I'd like to bring in the other two gentlemen who are part of this here podcast. First, we say hello to John Bruce. John, how are you?
I'm doing well. Just really excited to be back here in the studio after a beautiful weekend, and excited to talk SBC sports. I know we had a big week last week, and we got more coming up.
Yeah, we sure did. It seemed like everything going on. And then we'd like to bring in Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, are you keeping busy these days, running around watching SBC sports?
Oh, I certainly am. I busy time, busy weekend, a lot going on. Exciting. I know last week's show generated a lot of neat conversation throughout the week, and I think we have a really good one here tonight as well.
Well, that is good. What's going to be different on this week's agenda?
I think throughout the show tonight, I mean, we're still going to have our same sponsorship, the same appreciation as we always give out, Advanced Services, what they do. Advanced Services, a lot of times throughout the year, kind of does our volleyball coverage for us. And then there's North Fork Animal Clinic. A lot of times we'll spot them in our football coverage. Appreciate North Fork Animal Clinic, what they do. And then, of course, Crown Hill Golf Club. What they do up there for us. A lot of times we put them with golf. But I think what's different this week, guys, with Advanced Services, North Fork Animal Clinic, and Crown Hill Golf Club, we're going to kind of bring back an old segment. So, Bruce, I'll get right into it if
sure.
That's okay.
Sure.
Throughout the night, Bruce will be giving Advanced Services, North Fork Animal Clinic, and Crown Hill Golf Club another shout-out each as we get to some of the different things. But you know, we had a lot of people mention to me throughout the last couple of weeks that, hey, looking forward to basketball, your hoop headlines and some different things there. And then that generated some conversation. There was about two or three of us talking. They're like, hey, you guys haven't really done your headlines for football or your four down territory or some of your different things. So I thought when I was putting things together this week, you know, let's kind of combine some of those things together and look at the show in four segments. So here on First Down, obviously the big topic over this past week was the Paint Valley Edina football game. So, Bruce, if that's all right with you, I think we'll just go right to that segment of the show and get right into it.
We will do that, but first, because we feel it's our job to keep audiences fully informed, because Shane Combs and John Bruce have been known to consume various and sundry delectable treats while supposedly observing SVC sports events, and furthermore, because the Cincinnati Reds have clinched a fourth place in the NL Central, for which the whole team will receive participation ribbons, we pride ourselves in bringing you the following segment, unsponsored though it may be at this time.
Just eat it, eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it.
Yes, it's that time again. Before we get into too much sports, we get into the sport of eating. And Shane, are we going to embarrass ourselves again this week with the Eat It segment, or did you guys actually eat something this time?
Well, Bruce would be really proud. I know I'm not supposed to be giving it away on a Friday night there, but I have to give a shout out to Eric Cox there. He certainly pointed us in the right direction, and we went with the pulled pork sandwich mm-hmm. out in Frankfurt this past weekend, and it was – I may or may not have had two of them.
Uh-oh.
It was It was outstanding. I certainly was very pleased with the selection there. So I have to give an assist to Eric Cox on that one for
well,
sure.
You're one of the only people I know that approaches a concession stand and asks, is there a volume discount? So I too would like to thank Eric of the WKKJ Scoreboard Show for chiming in throughout the week about us on the Eat It segment. And I think he and I at least had some good fun at Shane's expense. So we got that going for us. And John,
I'm glad the two of you have enough time during the day.
Yeah, sure.
To talk the making of hot dogs and different things like that. Well, you know, some of us like working to like educate our youth and stuff.
That's so. Right. Well, you have a great high calling, and then there's me. But that was fine. Eric's obviously a man, I don't know, after a hot dog lover's heart. He pointed out that you really did nothing towards describing the hot dog that you had the week before. So I appreciate everything Eric had to say, and I really enjoyed kind of sparring with him a little bit. And Eric, if you're listening in sometime, you know, keep it up. We got to get after Shane. But John, not to be outdone, did you partake of the goodies this week?
I wasn't actually planning on it because I forgot the parking situation at Adena.
Okay.
So after I did a just – this is – we'll get into a parallel parking discussion. But I had the best parallel parking that I've ever done.
I see. Did you take
and
pictures?
And then I looked – no, because I looked to my right and I saw a sign that said no parking, fire lane. So I had to hurry up and move. And after I found my way through the Frankfurt streets and was able to get in, Shane actually brought me over a pulled pork sandwich.
Oh, I see.
So
okay.
I also had a pulled pork sandwich, and it was delightful.
Okay.
Coxie was right on that.
Okay.
And I approve of it.
All right. Well, Shane, number of bellies between 1 and 5.
Oh, I would certainly put it up around the 5. I might even be willing to give it a bonus belly.
Whoa!
Whoa! I thought it was as good as anything I've had at an SVC sporting event. This
okay,
year,
John, sure. Your feelings 1 to 5.
As of now, I'll go 4.5.
Okay,
but it could jump to a 5 by the end of the year if I don't have anything better.
I see.
Because
okay,
it's the best so far.
All right. Well, sports fans, I hope that you enjoy this moment of levity as we get away from sports, but I think the concession stand is part of the SVC sports world as well. So appreciate your comments there, gentlemen, but let's get to the actual game. Paint Valley at Adena. I understand it was a great game. Paint Valley coming out on top 21-14 over Adena. But we had an unfortunate headline to go with the final score. So I'm going to ask for both of your thoughts on the game. John, we're going to go to you first.
You know, obviously we have the unfortunate injury with Bryce Newland, mm-hmm. In which we wish him a speedy and quick recovery to get fully healthy before moving on to do anything else. But the game overall was just – it was a great game overall, great atmosphere, really hard-hitting game. I thought well played overall. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of missed tackles, which, you know, you can't really say for the first few games I saw a lot of missed tackles then, but not many on Friday. Just really, you know, you have the tough injury, you have the little break while they tended to Bryce, mm-hmm. and then the crowds kind of got everybody right back up into it, and it stayed with the same passion and emotion and effort the rest of the game, which, man, I was really – really fun to watch. You know, Paint Valley's defense made a couple really big plays late. Dane Miller made an interception in the end zone. And then after – and I think I might have mentioned it last week. Cordell Grubbs' punts are mm-hmm. insane.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a 3-and-out. They're forced to punt, and Adina's going to get the ball back with about minute 45 left. And Grubb just booms a 57-yard punt that goes over the return man's head and settles down inside the Adena 20. Two plays later, Cruz McFadden makes an interception, kind of similar to last year, mm-hmm. as he had a pick six late in that game that really put it away and won the SEC for the Bearcats. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to talk to Cruz after the game. Bruce, if you could play that for us real quick.
Hang on.
Obviously, big win tonight. Kind of coming from, you know, tough circumstance to kind of come together as a team. What does this mean to you guys as a team?
Yeah, when Bryce went out, I didn't think we were going to do very good, but we came together and played with heart. Played with, like, we're brothers. We just pushed down the field and stopped the offense.
Mm-hmm. And then defensively, you guys made a couple big plays, a couple big interceptions there late. You had the one to seal the game. You know, you guys were able to get passed on a lot the last couple weeks. How much does that say to how much you guys worked on it and have improved in the passing game?
It feels great, honestly, because they've been passing slants after slants after slants. So we practice every day for slants and verts and just staying with your man.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, big win moving forward. Big week this week. So what do you think as seniors you guys need to do to kind of gather a team moving forward to keep this win streak going?
We need to practice like we play. We need to go and practice and play practice our hardest and come together as a team for Bryce.
Yep. All right.
Well, there was Cruz McFadden. Obviously, you can tell after they were – it's pretty emotional, pretty big win. He's a kid who everything I've been told isn't super talkative, so I was proud of him to get some good answers out there, especially after a big win. But you can just tell how much this means to those kids to step up for their teammate, their brother. Mm-hmm. Big time win and just really fun game to watch.
All right. Shane, what about your thoughts on the game?
Well, I'll certainly talk Paint Valley in a second. I wanted to start with Adina here. I thought with Adina, it was probably a tough game plan for them in some ways. You know, John was spot on there in his coverage and with his interview questions. And you know, I'm sure on film, John, they probably certainly saw some things in the passing game. They probably saw some things they could attack. Adina certainly has big play capability with Sykes and then Bennett and Long and some of those guys. And what happens is when you go to some of those pass plays early and you don't convert, it kind of gets you in some down and distance that maybe forces you to throw a little bit more than you wanted to. And before you know it, you go three and out and you kind of get away from your bread and butter. Does that make sense? So what they do is they come back. I thought their maturity really showed when they were down 14-0. They come back in the second quarter and they went right back to the run game. They really got Metzger and Throckmorton between the tackles behind, you know, Willis and Hurt and some of those guys on the Adina O line. But to Paint Valley's credit, as the chess game was going back and forth here a little bit, the Paint Valley never really lost their outside containment. I thought they kept Sykes under control pretty well in the rollouts, kept the deep ball, kept everything in front of them. And even though they weren't hurt by the inside running game at time, For the most part, they were able to limit. I do think, in fairness to Adina, there was two or three pass interference calls both ways that could have probably went Adina's way. But honestly, the Paint Valley's defensive credit, they really stayed true to what their plan was coming in, and I think they deserve a lot of credit for that. Now, on the Paint Valley side, you make a great point about Cruz. Cruz isn't the most vocal guy. He certainly speaks when he needs to. But you're talking about a kid that leads with character. You're talking about a kid that he's there every day. Even when he went through injuries last spring, he was there every single day. Here's a kid that was a all-league, all-district performer. He's out there running like a bat boy. You know what I mean? He's that type of kid. Those are his guys, and he's right there with them. And so, you know, he's the type of guy that even when he doesn't speak, he kind of leads by example and kind of leads just by doing the right thing. The Bryce situation obviously leaves an empty feeling with me. It was tough to watch him go through. Obviously, been in sports, you know, over 25, 30 years. I know injuries are a part of it. It still doesn't make it easy. So when he goes down, you know, like you said, you're trying to return to football. I give Ian Cockrell a lot of credit. Ian's a kid that hadn't been 100% the first couple weeks. You could see it in the way he was moving, and he surely – he certainly stepped up and went to work for his team. And you throw in what Eisen does in that offensive line deserves a lot of credit because, you know, Painted Valley in a lot of ways became one-dimensional at that point. But that one dimension is pretty good when you have guys like Cockrell and Eisen and Mettler and that offensive line. So, but to me, John, I thought you talked about it really well. To me, the story in this game becomes the Painted Valley defense. I thought what they were able to do because, you know, you think about it, really the one defense or the one touchdown by Adina was set up. Was it Hurt that made
this incredible it was great, play. Great play.
Phenomenal play. You and I were standing right down there close to that. You just don't see high school linemen make that play. That was outstanding. So that gives them the short field. But really the PV defense, other than that little spurt in the second quarter,
mm-hmm.
You mentioned Dane Miller. You mentioned Cruz McFadden there at the end. I think they deserve a lot of credit. Just a really, really well-played game, and certainly wouldn't surprise anybody if those two teams are playing again come week. Having the goal of week 11 is certainly very realistic.
Well, guys, what does this mean for PV and Adina moving forward? John, why don't you take that one first?
I think for Adina, they just got to regroup quickly. Obviously, Uniota coming in this week, big week for them. They can definitely get a piece of the league title. I think this league is, you know, very top heavy with the top four.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Zane Trace, Piketon, Westfall can all have the capability and athletes to possibly upset someone. So I think Adina's just got to get ready, come back every game with the same focus and intensity. Overall, you know, I liked what I saw. Like I mentioned last week, I hadn't really seen them. I thought Sykes did a good job of, you know, just being a leader, getting his team going. Dalton Metzger runs real hard. Nate Throckmorton, shifty. And then you got Carson Long with great speed and Logan Bennett on the outside with great size. And then you got a lineman like Eric Hurt. They got some talent. They can definitely, you know, pull things together, keep moving forward. I like their chances to make the playoffs. And like Shane, you mentioned, this definitely could be a rematch here in week 11 or possibly week 12. Because that's a good team out in Frankfort. Now for Paint Valley, they're another, not I'll say regroup again, because just to see what they're going to do offensively. The good thing is Ian Cockrell's going to have a full week if that's where they go. If they go to the backup, you have the name. I know you mentioned the name. I don't want to mess it up, Shane, on the young quarterback. But, if they regroup their offense, the thing is they've still got playmakers. Cockrell, Eisen, Mettler, obviously Cruz McFadden also. And then defensively, I mean, man – most of those guys, hey, Mettler's nasty. Grubb was all over the field. John Alley had a huge sack in that game. Dane Miller did a great job in coverage. Pete Bowles had a sack. And Tramell Bird also had another big game like he did against Newark Catholic. They got guys all over the field that are nasty, play hard, a lot of speed. I really like their chances to still get a piece of the league, if not win it outright, just because of that senior group, how hard they play, how well coached they are. I think we'll still see Paint Valley in week 11 with the possibility of week 12 and beyond.
Shane, what about it? Your thoughts on PV and Adina moving forward?
Perspective becomes really big in terms of how you answer this question, because when you think playoffs, 7-3, 8-2 for sure, but probably even 7-3 with some of the wins that these two are going to have, already having a win against Newark Catholic, Adina already having a courthouse win, some of those types of things, certainly playoffs stay right there in the picture. Now, as far as the SVC goes, both teams are going to have to figure it out in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Adina, Uniota right off the bat, that becomes a must-win for Adina in terms of the SVC picture. Things could certainly get stupid. I don't know that they're going to get so stupid that teams are going to get to 5-2 at the top of the standings. I still think somebody will go 6-1, if not 7-0, but probably 6-1 for sure. Mm-hmm. So I don't think a second loss is realistic in terms of the league race. For Painted Valley, this is still a very, very talented football team. Now, it's going to look different. They're going to go about it differently. But there's a lot of football teams out there, John, that probably, you know, wish they had Ian Cockerell snapped the ball to. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, you know, there's things like, you know, with formations now with Cockerell and Eisen and Mettler on the field more together, I'm sure they're going to look for creative ways to try to get McFadden involved. He's probably the one that hurts the most if the throwing option's not there. But, you know, in the offseason, I'd heard a lot about Ian's work as a thrower, the wild bearcat, we were calling it, and so forth. You know, I mean, he's a capable athlete. I'm sure they'll work it in. And then, you know, as we get on down the line, obviously at Paint Valor, we hope for the best. Bryce, it was a broken fibula. 4 to 6 weeks is what they're saying. So, you know, you start doing the math. You know, Bryce doesn't really play on the defensive side of the ball. If nothing else, if Bryce could ever get back, one for just his own good. The one thing I say about that is, you know, some people kind of go to work a few off seasons to become a decent player. What people don't understand is Bryce has been preparing to be like Paint Valley's quarterback since like the fourth grade. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things that like eats at you a little bit. So if he could get back, one, for his own benefit, but two, for his team's benefit, he could give them an ability to stretch the field and some things down the stretch as they get into maybe week 9, 10, and hopefully 11. So gonna be tough. Gonna be tough for Adina to rebound and get jacked up again right off this 1 week and be ready to play again. Going to be tough for Paint Valley to kind of maybe redefine themselves a little bit and move forward. But both of these teams going to be certainly a factor in the SVC race. And then no matter what happens in the SVC race, certainly factors into week 11, in my opinion.
All right, gentlemen, our thoughts obviously with Bryce and his situation. We hope things are going well for you. Up next, we head to our second down where we ask why the teams at the top of the football and volleyball standings are not dominating more headlines. And our second down brought to you by Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. Find them on the web, advancedservicesHVAC.com, or give them a call, 877-947-4499. Advanced Services, celebrating 20 years of serving Southern Ohio. You can schedule a consultation today on their website, Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. Well, Shane, as we move towards our second down, what's going to be our topic?
Well, thank you for Advanced Services here in our second down. We're going to take a look at Westfall volleyball and Southeastern football. And I guess what I'm asking, John, is, you know, we've been talking a lot of teams, a lot of headlines or whatever, but it seems like sometimes maybe these two teams at the top don't get their due in terms of the focus of those headlines. You know, we talk parity in volleyball. I know Huntington has taken Westfall 5, Uniota 4, what, Adina 4. But, man, they just went on the road this last week with Zane Trace Southeastern and completely impressive. Then you go Southeastern football. Joe Idle has them number one in the computer points. They're just dominating. They have a great player in Ruby. They have the great balance of Nusser Thurston. Hill in the passing game has been a nice weapon. And then, obviously, this offensive line has been completely underappreciated. We heard a couple weeks back Coach Gallagher rattle off those names for us and Lane Ruby himself talking about his guys up front. But I guess that would be the second down topic as we look at these two teams, maybe not getting the due in the headline, and let's kind of focus on them and see if we can't talk about them a little bit, one, but maybe also maybe look at the topic of why that is. Why are they getting overlooked sometimes?
All right, let's go first to John. And John, why don't you give us your thoughts on Southeastern football?
Well, first off, I think it's a dream start to the season. You know, they're in outstanding position to be 7-0 for when they host Uniota in week 8. They're such a hard team for others to get a scout on, because nobody else in the league has someone like Elaine Ruby with his combination of speed, strength, and his size. Because, you know, you might be able to throw out someone that's, you know, strong and fast, but they're not going to be as shifty and low to the ground as Lane is. They're just such a difficult team to shut down completely. Now I do see one possible issue, which is their defense has given up a lot of points in the last six quarters. So maybe that could be an issue facing some dynamic offenses down the road. But overall, for why they might be overlooked, I think a lot of people have looked at how they were in like the few years before this kind of Lane Ruby, Evan Gallagher run that they've had, and maybe just say, well, it's one player. That's obviously not true because of Nusser and Thurston and Hill and those guys that are just dynamic. But obviously you have one great player, you can do a lot. So I think that may be a reason why they're overlooked. I'm not sure, because I know last year they got off to a really good start and they dropped the game at Vinton County and then kind of rolled into the league. And it seemed like people still didn't take them as seriously as they should have last year. Going into weeks, I believe it was 7, 8, and 9 last year, with the same group that they play in 8, 9, and 10 this year. So I don't know, maybe because of the school size, we don't look at them, and they're not a traditional power, I guess, since, school size similar to Paint Valley, but Paint Valley has all this football history, and Southeastern up until 2 years ago had only made the playoffs once and didn't win in that one time. Mm-hmm. So I think it might be a history thing. I'm not sure, though, overall, because it's such a unique offense. Obviously, like 50 years ago, it wasn't a unique offense, but it's very unique now. And I just really don't know why they don't get the respect that they seemingly should, because they've been very good for the last 4 or 5 years. And I think they're very well coached, and obviously the dynamic athlete in Lane Ruby gives them something really solid to look at moving forward.
Yeah, lots of reasons maybe why, but nothing really to put your finger on, I guess.
Yeah, nothing really concrete.
Yeah. Shane, same question maybe about Westfall volleyball.
Well, with Westfall volleyball, I think it is kind of unique. I mean, here they're off to, what, an 8-0 start, I think, with the non-league win yesterday. I don't have that in front of me. 12-1, I believe it is. They certainly have road games left with Adena and Uniota, but this past week they go and they record a couple road wins, and just impressive, complete, organized, in a year where a lot of rotations are anything but. This is a team that's just very organized. They're very focused on task at hand. And again, this is a program that has tradition. They've been there, done that. This coach is one that, as a player, was very successful, and as a coach, has been very successful. I tell you what, let's just hear from a lot of the reason why, in my opinion, from a leadership standpoint. After their Southeastern win the other night, I had a chance to talk to Josie Williams and Kristen Phillips. Do we have out there, Bruce?
Please, congratulations, first of all. Josie, I'll start with you. Josh, you guys have just seemed to go to another level here in the last couple weeks. Is there something you could put your finger on, or you just think it's a growth in your team? It just seems like when I'd watched you earlier in the year, you guys were obviously playing pretty well, but I've watched you twice this week, and you just seem to really be clicking.
I think we've started to play more together as a team. We've all started to talk and communicate. Every practice, we just try to find something that we can really focus on and get better. One thing we've been struggling with is finishing all three sets, like, back-to-back, and we finally did that tonight, and we really stepped it up in the third set.
When I go back to last year and watching you guys play, a little bit inconsistent up and down. I'd see you some nights, and man, really high level. You could see the potential there. For whatever reason, it never really got going all the way through. This year, some of that consistency. Now this week, I see it's twice on the road. Talk about going away from home and being able to take some of that on the road and play really well and win in other people's buildings.
When we go to other places, we just got to bring our energy from our home games to anywhere we go. It doesn't matter who we're playing, where we're playing. It has to be the same energy every time from with the team and just playing together and, not staying satisfied and just staying up the entire time, not getting down.
Josie, back to you. I obviously, you guys across the net, you're long, you're athletic, you have a lot of weapons. Tonight, I thought about halfway through the first set, and really in my notes in the second set, I thought your serving took the match over. Seemed to really be hitting your spots. Something you guys were seeing there, a little bit more aggressive. Just seemed like you're serving maybe a little bit more aggressively than maybe earlier in the year when I watched you.
Yeah, we've really worked on and practiced serving aggressively. That's something really big that we have good servers. Lauren Daniels is great back on the line, and we really try to get the ball as low to the net as we can and not give them any points.
Well, and then I'll ask you about the net play. Gosh, you guys are terrific at the net. You have so many weapons. Obviously, you get a lot of attention, rightfully so, but it's really across the net and the way you can spread the ball out. You two seem to really have your chemistry coming on. I noticed a couple times tonight when, you know, Josie got pulled off the net, she was able to still find you in some nice communications. Just talk to me about the chemistry as you guys have played together so long now and the comfort level there playing with her.
Josie and I have played together for so long that we do understand each other, and, you know, I'm able to talk to her and she's able to listen to me and put the ball where I need it constantly. You know, she can spread the ball around this year a lot. Everyone does, you know, a role on this team, and they do very well.
I'll ask both of you this in closing. You know, you're what now, 8-0. You know, obviously all the goals in front of you here. As leaders, though, it's so easy to look ahead. As leaders, how do you stay focused in the moment and not allow yourself to kind of peek down the road a little bit?
We just have to take it one game at a time. Every practice before the game, we try to look at the team we're about to play and find their weaknesses and what we need to do for that game, not look ahead down the road and just keep doing what we're doing one game at a time.
Kind of the same question for you, heading into a practice and getting ready for another week of SVC volleyball. Every Tuesday, Thursday is a battle in this league. Just your focus as you guys try to finish this thing off.
You know, every practice we go in and we always focus on something. Like Josie said, we never stay satisfied. We always take one game at a time. Just like in the game, you take one point at a time.
Ladies, really enjoyed watching you this week. You guys are really playing at a high level. Best of luck, and look forward to seeing you down the road.
Thank you.
Again, that was Josie Williams and Kristen Phillips. I was going back and forth. There was some questioning, and Josie and Kristen really kind of in their voice explain a lot why this team, I think, has the focus they have. Is when your two best players there and your leadership are that locked in, John Wino's coach, is that goes a long way in keeping everything, you know on the straight and narrow in terms of the way you approach things and the way you play. I also thought with the play of Claire Latham and Marissa Mullins and just the balance of the hitters and passers, just a really, really good team. Going to be tough to catch. I know we put some percentages on those last week, and those percentages obviously go up now at this point. We only have six to play and they're up two. So, you know, each team's going to have to take care of the head-to-head and get some help from someone else. But I guess in listening to some of the Southeastern talk there and then with me talking about Westfall, John, I guess maybe with Southeastern, you touched on a little bit. Don't you think it is the schedule in a lot of ways? It's just like this upcoming week. A lot of it is just schedule and when they play the big games. Adina Uniota is obviously going to get a lot of headlines this week, no matter who wins, going into the matchup and then the way it plays out. Whereas Southeastern's playing, Huntington? It's going to be another game where I'm sure statistically they're going to put some impressive numbers up. And it's going to be another week where almost at 5-0 and number one in the region, they're just going to kind of continue to fly under the radar, aren't they?
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't even know why I didn't think of that. Because really what we talked about after week one was, well, you know, they got the tough Vinton County game, but they can easily be – I know I mentioned 6-0 or 6-1, maybe 7-0
right,
going into that game because it didn't seem like they're really going to be tested until week 8. So I can see how they'd be overlooked if you're like, oh, they beat who they should have beat this week. You know, they're taking care of business. Obviously, the Vinton County one was very impressive. You know, impressed all of us, and you know, maybe we could reevaluate and look at it like, okay, they're about the same as what they've been the last 3 years. But I also think people kind of, you know, I guess the what have you done for me lately kind of society we have where, yeah, they're winning, but who are they playing? Although that shouldn't be that way we look at it. We should be looking at, oh, they won again, and they look really good once again. So I do think that that could be a big part of it.
Well, Bruce, I do think the Southeastern win over Westfall the way they did it. You remember me last week saying that all eyes would be on Adina Payne Valley, but sure, people needed to kind of peak the Westfall there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Westfall did some nice things as I get a lot of feedback about that game. But you know, almost everybody said it surprised them how Southeastern's offense has a little bit more versatility to it than they thought. And then the way their line's performing on both sides of the ball, that's where they're really going to make the money. The other thing that's interesting here, John, is, you know, we talk a lot about load management. You know, what are some of these other teams going to have left by the time they get to weeks 8, 9, 10, where Southeastern should be primed and ready and really, really, I don't know, as fresh as you're going to be in week 8, but really in place. You know, you obviously got to show up every week and win, but they're going to be heavy favorites in each of these games leading right up to that those last 3 weeks that you're talking about.
All right, gentlemen, that is our second down. Next, we head to third down, where we start looking at handling expectations and how this influences a season for teams of all talent levels. I have to admit, I'm kind of stuck in my disco phase right now with...
I thought we had a little DJ Bruce going on there. Like, I thought you were giving us a little...
Yeah. Well, that's a song that made me think of you, Shane. It's He's the Greatest Dancer by Sister Sledge. And I know that you spend what little time you have away from athletics, SVC sports and so forth, out on the dance floor, shaking your booty,
yes,
as it were.
I could see why you'd make that comparison.
Yeah.
That song was involved. I like to go in a little bit of storytelling. That song was involved in a great bit of my youth because Will Smith used that song on a sample of his 1997 hit, Getting Jiggy With It.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. I thought Bruce was going to get jiggy with it.
Yeah.
I've never been jiggy in my life.
Well,
maybe it's time to start. You would
enjoy it. Yeah, Big Willie Styles all in it.
Okay.
Getting jiggy with it. Yeah.
Well, we digress slightly there, but that's okay. Anyway, third down brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming. You can look them up on the web at northforkanimalclinic.com. Find out all kinds of detailed information, or you can give them a call, 740-773-7387. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff are located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, and they are bringing us our third down. So, Shane, the leader of our podcast here, what's going to be our third down topic?
Well, I think for our North Fork Animal Clinic third down here, we're going to look at playing up and down with opponents and expectations. And I guess a lot of times those expectations come from, you know, what people put on themselves, what mm-hmm. their fan bases put on themselves, probably a little bit like what guys like us just hanging out every week talking sports puts out there as expectations and so forth. And I think what's funny, John, is we have different terms in sports, you know, trap games. Really, this is a nice way to say that teams aren't focused. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. Up and down to competition, however you want to say it. You know, we always say, man, we'll play right up to this team's ability and we'll fall just short, and then we'll play a team we're supposed to beat and we'll play down to their ability. And it seems like we're just in dogfights every night instead of just playing at a high level all the time. And I think this goes with talent levels in all sports and all sorts of levels, because if you think about it, I'll use Zane Trace volleyball, for example. When I watch them play, like against Uniota, they're so jacked up, they can't hardly contain themselves, and they play at levels that are unreal. But then I'll watch them other nights, and I'll be like, is this the same team I just watched last week against mm-hmm. Uniota? It's kind of flat, and they don't kind of go the same way. You know, then you go down like Piketon, volleyball loses to Peebles, but then they take Zane Trace to 5. Paint mm-hmm. Valley loses to Western, and less than 24 hours later takes Uniota to 4. Uniota hasn't really respected the bullseye they've had as defending champ. And y'all talked about Zane Trace and the way they approach Uniota. Well, a lot of people are going to approach the defending champ. They haven't really matched that intensity or that focus. All of a sudden, when they're down 0-2 to a Chillicothe, they fight back, or to a Westfall Zane Trace, they fought back a little bit. They fight back to beat Adina, yet they lose the set to Paint Valley. So it's that thing I'm talking about in terms of it can't be a switch. We fight this as coaches all the time, John, right? You can't be a switch that we just flip. So, you know, now football, maybe not as much. It's the once per week. Maybe Adina can get jacked up again this Friday night the same way they did. Or maybe they had a little nervous energy against Paint Valley last week, where maybe this week it'll be a little bit more emotional and they'll turn it loose a little bit more against Uniota. I don't know. But I think with football, it's the once a week. It's the bigger, faster, stronger, and so forth. So I guess this is a topic where I really wanted to study some teams and some matchups, and how could this impact the second half of the volleyball league? How could it impact our football league? Really, we're only one week into this. And then just you as a coach kind of giving some of your thoughts on this. I thought that's where we would go with this, Bruce, and to however you want to organize our discussion. Those are the things that were on my mind in third down.
Well, since you just pontificated there for a little bit, let's go to John. John, what are your thoughts on this topic of playing up or playing down with opponents and expectations?
Well, it's tough because you would like to think the kids could get up for every game equally, but we just know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you might sleepwalk through a game, or you might sleepwalk through a practice in between games. Or let's say, I don't know, I'll use Zane Trace. Looking at their schedule this week, it doesn't even get any easier. I was just going to say Zane Trace for volleyball if they had an easy game on Tuesday, but let's say someone has an easy game on Tuesday in volleyball, and Thursday, it's not as good of a team, or you think so. Well, you might sleepwalk through practice on Wednesday, and then you have a bad practice, you have a bad game on Thursday, and could go four or five sets, or you might get upset. Or you lose a tough game on Tuesday, and then you kind of sleepwalk through practice. Or you use that game on Tuesday to kind of build yourself back up. I think it's really hard for the kids to keep the same level at all times. So, it's understandable how they may not be as jacked up for each game in a multi-game week. But as a coach, you have to try to find ways to make sure that they know each game is how important each game is, and get that effort out each and every night, as opposed to just one of the two games or two of the three games, whatever. And for football, though, I think if you come off a big win, you can really build off that. You can build momentum. But also, if you come off a big loss, I'm sure Adina's coaches are happy that they have Uniota this week, because they're not going to have, I would think, an effort and emotion let down after that tough loss on Friday. I would think that they'll just be just as jacked and ready to play coming up on this Friday, especially at home. Now, how would they handle if they're playing a team that's not as good, or maybe a team that they don't look at as, possibly at least a little bit of a rival? How are they going to handle that? And that's where coaching is so important, because you got to get the kids ready each and every night, each and every day in practice. And it's just, I think it's a big responsibility for the coach, in my opinion.
Well, Shane, he kind of maybe stole some of my question here, but I wondered, how much responsibility do you think a coach has in handling this? Because John mentioned a coach there three or four times in his answer.
Well, I think he's spot on. In fact, I'd love for him to even go a little deeper into, in his opinion, what he thinks the coach's responsibility is in trying to actually do this. Because, John, to me, I grew up in a time where, WKKJ was there, Chillicothe Gazette was there, but it was really kind of rare for kids to get interviewed. It just wasn't the same type of coverage. Nowadays, when you think of what you know, SVCSportZone.com has been doing the last 12 years. We have all these other websites out there, and the way Derek's grown in the area, Litter Media, even there for a while. Remember how big JJ Huddle had been, right, and how SEO preps and so forth. So kids are out there talking. Parents are out there talking. They're going to listen. So to me, we not only have to be aware of it, we have to talk about it with our kids. We have to teach them how to handle it. You know, I loved what, you know, what Evan and his kids do there at Southeastern, talking about, you know, being the underdog next game. You know, remember when Coach Hoops would always say, we just got to go 1-0 and during the streak and so forth. So, you know, each coach tries to come up with their little things, but to think you're just going to ignore it. You would love for to think that kids are going to leave my practice and games and they're going to go out and they're not going to hear any, they're not going to be right on social media. You know what I mean? They're not going to, well, you know better than that. So they're going to be out there. They're going to read it. They're going to hear it. They're going to talk about it. So to me, you got to educate a little bit. I had one other point I was going to make here in a second, but I wanted to go back to John real quick there. John, you know, when you're dealing with kids in a lot of different sports and so forth, what are some of the things that you've seen coaches try to do to really be aware of some of these distractions that are out there?
Well, you mentioned Coach Hoops with the 1-0, go 1-0, win every game, or you only worried about the game in front of you. I think that's really important to make sure they're not looking ahead, because if you've got, you know, let's say, well, just use Unietta as an example. Unietta football has Adina coming up. Well, then they have Zane Trace the week after. You can't look ahead at the Zane Trace because you got to go 1-0 this week to, you know, want to reach the goals that they have. Obviously, they wouldn't overlook an Adina, especially right now. But I think focusing, just reminding the kids each game, each day, that the next game is the most important. The next practice is the most important. Trevor Thomas used to do, I mean, he still may do it, just, you know, kind of a goal for each practice, and would let the kids know, you know, this is what we're going to try to achieve. This is what we're going to try to get better at today, you know. And then at the end, you talk about it. You say, did we reach our goal? Why or why not? And then that kind of can help you build into. We would do that a lot in the preseason, but that would help us build into, you know, what are we getting better at each day? And I think for coaches that you as coaches, you 100% can't look ahead. You know, obviously, you're not going to, but you have to make sure, just because you're not looking ahead, that no kids look ahead. And, you know, there's only so much you can do because of social media and everything, because, like you said, they're not going to not get on it, unless they do like a self-made social media ban for the year. Yeah. Like some colleges do. But it's just, I think you just have to really make sure the kids know in the hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, however long they're at practice or with you, know that the most important thing is the next game. And, you know, just remind them that every time they're around you.
That's so intriguing because, you know, as a coach, particularly in basketball, this happens. You know, you might go a week off, but in the middle, you have no choice but to scout two games that maybe you don't play them for another couple of weeks down the road, but you have to get your future preparation in, because, you know, we don't get to do what football coaches do in terms of trade film. You know, you have to go out and figure out how to get your own material. So it's tough. But then when I go back and I'm talking to the kids, I got to talk about tonight's practice. I got to talk about the next game, you know, so that is the one thing that comes to my mind. We just talked about this in Leader and Me a little bit last week, and I thought it would be a neat discussion to kind of compare this is, you know, we were talking about leadership, we're talking about stress, and we're trying to be proactive in terms of eliminating stress from your life. But don't you think it's also important, John, that, you know, for the longest time, I think we were only doing it half correctly. I think it's awesome that we are being proactive and we're trying to get out in front of things. But don't you think it's also just important to understand how to handle adversity as an athlete and how to handle these different things, because you're not going to eliminate it. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where you are not going to go through 10 weeks of football. We're not going to play 27 games in baseball. I can sit there and teach next pitch and one at bat at a time and one inning at a time all I want. We're going to go through adversity. So it's one of those things that you have to talk about it, and you have to work at it a little bit, and so forth. So I think a lot of coaches choose to hide their players from the stats or from the media and so forth, and that's fine if that's what they believe. But for me, I don't think it's one of those things where you can just do just that. I think you also have to talk to your kids about and educate them on how to go about doing it. I want my passers and the scorers in basketball to understand and appreciate each other. I want my blockers and passers in volleyball to appreciate each other. You see how people using social media in a positive way. If you right. saw the Shoemaker kid from Waverly talking about his offensive lineman when he had just the insane Friday night, I thought that was really cool. You know, that's what I'm talking about, is educating them on how to use what is obviously there. So I just, before we went on, I just thought that would be a neat thing to throw back at you and see what your take was on that.
Yeah, I think that could definitely be something you can kind of coach them up on too, is the how to use the social media as a positive thing. And I'll go back to the interview I did with Bryce Newland last week. I didn't say anything to him about the offensive line. I was going to, but he said it for me before. Just kind of leadership, knowing how important your teammates are to each other. So like you mentioned, Peyton going on Twitter and talking about how good his offensive line is. That's huge, because those guys are going to block even harder for him next week. You know, like for Bryce, that it's all the things he did with those offensive linemen to show his appreciation for him is gigantic. So that helps build a team. And that kind of helps you move forward as a team. You know, both teams, I guess, if you look at kind of Waverly, Pay Valley, have gone through, you know, a tough injury. So it's really important for these guys to stay together as a team and kind of team build moving forward to have the seasons that they're hoping to have while their, you know, quarterbacks are out. So I think it's really vital to be positive on social media. Maybe you just say to the kids, hey, you kind of how we have the 24-hour rule with parents. kids, if you're frustrated, wait 24 hours. If you're still frustrated, come talk to us. Don't do it on social media. You know, only positive things should be said in that 24 hours. And you would hope that your kids are mature enough to not really go to social media and kind of bash coaches or teammates, and especially teammates. But, you know, I'm sure it happens someplace or has. I don't know. I think I've been kind of lucky to not have to deal with it yet, but you never know. But I do think kind of coaching the kids on positive social media and how to use it and how to block out certain things also is very important.
Well, I just think that's really neat, Bruce, because if you think about the audio clips you've done for us, like tonight, Josie's talking about Lauren Daniels and her ability to hit her spot with her serve.
Yep.
And he's talking about Bryce and offensive lineman. As soon as you interviewed Cruz, he was talking about, you know, Bryce. You know, with the soccer ladies last week, we heard about Sophia talking about the position change and how certain kids can do certain things, but honoring the skill set of her teammate as well. Skylar Heiss talking about Lexi Lockwood last week. So there's just a lot of neat things that you see with those things. And I guess that's my point, Bruce. I don't know how you feel about it, as you kind of – I know you've really gotten into a lot more of the technology and a lot more of the social media aspects than even I have. But, like, you kind of see where we're coming from. As someone who's coached now 20-plus years, that's one thing I've really had to adjust to, in terms of I don't think you're going to eliminate it, so aren't you better off teaching it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think technology's made the job of a coach much harder on many planes. You know, everybody's got a forum now, and so everybody puts their expectations out there and also their dirty laundry on occasions as well. I was just wondering, as I was sitting here listening to you guys talk about, you know, the topic we said is playing up and down with opponents and expectations. How do you, I mean, I've seen many people use, you know, the expectations of the public to motivate their players, you know, for an upcoming game or something like that. I mean, you have somebody. Well, I'm sitting here as a Miami of Ohio or Miami University grad. I'm thinking of Chuck Martin and what he said.
Oh God!
To on the phone call, the teleconference on Monday of last week when he said it's like playing at recess and the other team got the first 85 yeah. picks. And I've talked to people who said, oh, that's neat. That was, you know. And then I've talked to many people who say, I can't believe he said that. Because didn't that just, you know, show his players that he expected them to lose? And we know they probably were going to, but and they did very handily. But was that not just a major faux pas in based on everything you guys just said?
Yes, yeah. Completely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, those guys probably knew it coming into it.
Yeah.
You know, we're a long shot, obviously, but you don't say that. Like, how are those guys going to get up this week when they're playing if their coach doesn't seem to? It's not a respect thing because I mean he's just being honest. He's probably right, but you know it's still that's hard to get up for a coach that says something like that, especially in the media. It's not like he just said it kind of to another coach or something, like somehow it got out or he said it off the record. No, that was a teleconference.
And they played the clip on the broadcast. So
right.
I mean,
yeah.
I have a feeling he probably was talked to by somebody after saying that too. So,
but let me just throw the other side out here for a second, because John, like, but don't you also think in coaching sometimes that you have to be real and you have to be honest? I'm not saying to that extent, and I don't know how he addressed his team or whatever. You know, you always say things in the media just to. You know, you'll have some of those coaches like, you know, Don Neff used to say, oh, we graduated this, and that. We may not win a game. And then he goes 14-0 or whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you always have coaches that throw that out there. But I'm saying, don't you have to also be honest and be, you know, genuine in your thing? Or sometimes what happens is when you really need your kids to believe you, they won't. Like I think back to the greatest baseball player I ever coached against was Zach Farmer. Mm-hmm. And I can remember going down to Piketon and getting ready to play him one night. We weren't a bad baseball team. We were up and coming. You know, if I got in front of my kids that night and said, guys, we're going to get in the box and we're going to jump first pitch fastball. We're just going to rock this guy in the gap all night long. They're going to look at me like,
yeah,
what
you've
are
lost your marbles.
About? You know what I mean? Like, that's the closest of my career I've ever come to giving a 3-2 take sign, by the way, too. But that's another story. But my idea is, you know, in terms of you do have to be. When you're sitting there and you're talking to a kid for 4 years and you're talking to a kid 27 games after wins and after losses, I do think it's hard because you have to be honest and you have to be real, or sometimes you lose them there. So it's not always as easy as it sounds, too. So I think that's where just a lot of this dynamic that we come in terms of expectations and so forth. It's a great discussion. I would love to hear back from a lot of different coaches or even players' perspective on it.
Yeah, I think it's a tightrope. I mean, if you're not realistic, you know, after so long, the player's going to look at you and say, the old man's lost it. You know, and if you are completely out of the, you know, they're not going to respect you for that, but you got to build them up the right way too. Go ahead, John. You were saying something.
Oh, well, you had kind of mentioned the public perception thing kind of out there and, you know, seeing different things. I had, you know, with Derek Seitt, where he's done picks for the last couple or so far for this year, and before Unioda played Waverly, I picked Waverly,
right?
You know, I was one of the six out of six that picked Waverly to win. Clearly we were wrong. Now I also work at the school, which has been super fun, but pretty much what I heard last week, outside of giving me a lot of grief about doing it, was that they partially use that as motivation. So maybe you can use, as a coach, maybe you can use it in a positive way to use, you know, I don't like, you know, the kind of us against the world all the time feeling, especially if you're not always us against the world, especially if you're going to be a favorite from time to time. But, you know, it does work, especially as long as you can kind of rein it in and harness that energy in the positive way. I do think that, you know, maybe if the public doesn't think you have a chance, or maybe media doesn't think you have a chance. Maybe you can use that to just get a little bit extra energy on those nights.
Yeah. The world gives you lemons, make lemonade, I guess.
So, right.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good discussion. I'd like to hear back from players, coaches, see what they think about that, too. We'll get to contact information in a little bit. But first, in the final segment, we look at why high school sports offer a special second season in most sports for all the teams and athletes. As we move into our fourth down, it's going to be brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. Boy, the weather's been beautiful. I'm sure people were taking advantage of it before we get into fall here. Fall's a good time to play some golf as well. But you can find all kinds of information at crownhillgolfclub.com. Crown Hill Golf Club. One of our good buddies and sponsors on the website and for the podcast. Shane, we're moving into fourth down. You going to punt or you going to give us a topic here?
Well, on fourth down, let's go Crown Hill Golf Club. Let's have them sponsor something that I think is really intriguing for this particular time of year, and that's postseason opportunities. And I think postseason opportunities are truly one of the key things that saved our league over the years. You know, remember all the talk of the expansion and enrollment and all that stuff there for the longest time. I think one of the things that really got overlooked ended up being just the postseason opportunities that we get and the way our league is uniquely separated in the postseason. I was talking to a good friend of mine, Gene Bumgardner, here, good time to mention, John, our thoughts and prayers with Gene and his family. You know, Gino and I go way back, and I just wanted to let him know that we love him, thinking about him, praying for he and his family. But, you know, Gino and I ran into each other the other night, and I was asking him how his year was going. He was saying he had all like 176 freshmen at United, and I about fell over. I was like, 100 and how many? Because I in the eighth grade I have 61 eighth graders, so I have all of them. But that's kind of what we're talking about. And we, you know, over the years in that discussion, and we hammered that in the ground, you know, about Adina volleyball, Paint Valley football, and so forth. But I thought what always got overlooked there, Bruce, was what postseason gives our programs. And, you know, the way Uniota splits here and golf, Piketon goes to the south and everyone else is at JC's, or Uniota cross country. Think about how much they're going to dominate the league. Think about how much cross country would be just, you know, void if it wasn't for postseason opportunities and these runners get to go elsewhere. So Westfall girls, it was, what, 2-3 weeks ago, John, we talked about not having a league. And, you know, now this week, by the time people listen to the show, Westfall have already started their postseason. I believe that's on Monday. I don't have that schedule in front of me, but I believe they play 18 holes Monday. So in the sectional. So I guess, Bruce, what I'm saying is I think it's a neat opportunity to look and see all the opportunities we have as a league when we spread out. And it might even give us an opportunity here to end the show to talk about a lot of these different programs that maybe we don't get an opportunity to talk about as much.
Okay, John, you get to go first on this topic.
I mean, it's hard to argue that because it's huge for our league to be able to go into different places. And just because maybe you don't win a league title – or you're not in the league race at the very end, you know, why can't you have success in the postseason? You know, it's like Shane, you mentioned with the cross country, and kind of shout out to Uniota the other day for going up to Dublin Jerome and borderline dominating. Those guys ran together in like 15 seconds apart, all five of the guys that scored. But, you know, it's great for the league to be able to split up and go and have success. Cause I know there's a couple years, Shane, for your team, you guys made it to the regionals a couple years where you had tough league seasons because of how good the league is, or made it to a district final because you got to go to, you know, where the size school that Paint Valley is, and play there instead of playing up against, you know, much bigger schools. And I think that's where our league, you know, helps a little bit too, is you are seeing all kinds of different levels of competition. And also if you kind of think about it in basketball, you're seeing different kind of different styles of play that you might see when you come to tournament time. It's not just one style of play like some leagues do. But also volleyball. It's the fact our league splits into three divisions is great because of how talented the volleyball league is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it, obviously it gives Westfall Golf a chance to shine since we don't have a league. Gives Uniota Tennis a chance to shine. It's great for these programs to be able to give the kids something positive to go for when maybe they don't have a league title win, or maybe they're just going to be overmatched over a 14-game schedule. I just love how Ohio does the postseason, and I think it's great for our league.
Shane?
Yeah, I think what happens, guys, is it gives so many kids in our league a chance to get recognition that they would never, ever get without it. Think about this with me. The Westfall girls not even having a league, they're 30-4. Now, what sport do you go 30-4 in and not get far more? You want to talk about not getting headlines. You know, on SBC Sports Zone, we cover it every single night. We put it out there. But think about some of the bigger media markets. How well do you really know that Westfall's 30-4?
Right.
You know, that Maddie Schultz has won like co-medalist or medalist in every match she's played in this year. And then Ella Seeley, Elizabeth Hart, Emily Cook, Maddie Cook, Michaela Bryan, what those young ladies have done. Think about over in the boys cross country. It's easier, guys, to make the regional, maybe even the state, than it is to make all league. You know, because if the league doesn't get control of this one rule, Uniota's going to have, what, 7, 8, 9 kids all league.
Mm-hmm.
It's a situation where these kids throughout track, throughout cross country, throughout golf, they're getting an opportunity to split into a completely different field, if you will, to go up against things. You mentioned the volleyball. You mentioned our baseball, which was really good. The one year we finished second, went all the way to the regional, got beat by the team that went on to win the state championship. Mm-hmm. Another team. But another year, like you said, we finished a little bit more down in the standings and still made the regional because of Huntington baseball this past year is a
right.
Good example. You know, so it happens in softball. You know, Paint Valley went to the state. 1 year in softball and didn't even finish what third, fourth, fifth in the league. Mm-hmm. So it is. I just think it's an opportunity for us to really take a look at athletes that maybe we don't get to honor with an all league status because there is no league, or we get a chance to really appreciate some of these teams that that play their particular sport at a high level. It gives people a better understanding of where Sylvia Gray matches up. Okay, here in Southeast Ohio, but then as we move forward. So I just think this particular week starts it in golf, and then week by week, you might have to help me here, John. I want to say, is it the following week for tennis? Is that what we're
talking about? Yeah, this is their last regular season week.
Yeah, and then week by week, we'll start to get a little bit more, and week by week, we'll start to appreciate, oh, okay, here's what Sylvia Gray's doing. Here's what Ty Schoblock's doing. Here's what Maddie Schultz is doing. Oh, here's what the Uniota soccer program's doing into one. Okay, oh, here's Westfall's soccer program doing this. And I just think it's a neat opportunity for us to see, okay, here's how Huntington matches up against Uniota and Zane Trace and girls cross country. Oh, wait a minute. Here's how they match up when they go in their division. Oh, you know what I mean? It's in terms of team success. So something exciting for me to really look at, and I think it's also an opportunity for a league like ours to get behind each other and then be kind of become fans of one another as well, Bruce.
All right. Well, gentlemen, if there's any topics that our listeners would like to chime in on, they may do so, and they can do so by quite a few ways. First, they can call the DBK Media Services line, voicemail message, and or leave a voicemail message, 740-569-3254. They can email Shane at admin1@svcsportszone.com. You can reach him on Twitter, where his handle is @svcsportszone. And he uses the hashtag SEC Sports Talk. Very important there, folks. On Facebook, he maintains two profiles. First is his personal one, Shane Combs SEC Sports Zone, and then the I guess the website's Facebook page, svcsportszone.com. John's reachable by email, jbruce1018@yahoo.com, and of course the always popular John Bruce's handle on Twitter is Coconut Wall Papa, and he too uses the hashtag SVC Sports Talk, as do I when I actually tweet, and I did a lot of that this week compared to past weeks because I was out there going after Shane. And folks, if you're listening to us on iTunes or through the iPod or iPad or I guess I just showed my age, iPod, iPhone, app, you may leave us a review on iTunes. If you do, we request a high rating, and we'd like to have a review as well. That'll help us in the search and so forth. And then you can always share our postings and retweet our tweets, if you would. Appreciate that. But we'd love to hear on several topics here that we've talked about tonight that we could really use some input from other people as well. John, any final thoughts as we close out this episode?
I would just make sure you follow hashtag SEC Sports Talk on the Twitter machine this week. Tomorrow I'll have some updates from the Union of Zane Trace soccer games. Obviously that'll be,
before this is actually,
right. I believe the boys game will start possibly within minutes after this, comes onto the website. Okay. So, if you listen to it afterwards and you're like, oh, I wonder what happened in that game, just make sure you check out hashtag SEC Sports Talk. Then I'll be back at Adena this weekend. Definitely going to – I'm going to try to see if there's anything else there to
eat.
Have that – yeah, that is delightful. And, just if you want to be a part of the show, just get a hold of us any way you can, and we'd love any feedback.
Yep. Shane? What's what do you got to take us home?
We have more writing from Zeb Downs this week. Also have a couple young people from a couple schools that have shown a little bit of interest. Just not sure exactly how much yet. Looking forward to maybe talking to them. Our goal is to spread that out to multiple schools, connecting the classroom to our coverage where we're taking the high school writers. Good luck to all of our golfers. That'll keep me busy here in the next 3 to 4 days while John's doing some soccer for us. And then, of course, I always get my volleyball coverage in there as well. This Friday night, I will split up from John. John, I really enjoyed that the other night. I wanted to do that. But this week, for the sake of our coverage, I will split away. So John will be doing Uniota Adena, and I'll pick one of the other three yet. I haven't totally decided yet, but there could be some mushrooms in my future Friday night. We'll just see how that works out. But a lot going on. Good show. Look forward to the feedback, and we'll do it again next week. So, guys, on that note, make sure we encourage our SVC fans to keep on coming to svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportszone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.